A weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin sports writer of the year, Jason Moldy. I'm ESPN Wisconsin's Alex Stroff. It's Packers Broncos coming up Sunday in Denver, coming off of a big emotional win at Lambeau Field last week over the rival Chicago Bears. The Packers hold the longest win streak in the NFC. They've won four in a row. The Broncos hold the longest win streak in the NFL. They've won 10 in a row coming up on Sunday. So two powerhouses will collide at Mile High Sunday afternoon. Good day, Jason.
Hello, Alex. How are you today?
I'm good. I was going to say good morning, but then I realized this doesn't come out until the afternoon, so I fooled myself. So
you're nothing if not a professional. God bless you. Thank you for your service.
Professional stuff.
It's right to be good, buddy.
It's right to be good with Prize Picks. Hey, I want to get to the Broncos-Packers game in a moment, but I do kind of just want to put a bow, to use a Tauschism, on Packers-Bears. Because, I mean, obviously we've had so much commentary, so many different perspectives on what that game meant and how you felt walking out of that one. But I don't know that I've asked you that yet. So what are your kind of overarching thoughts on what Packers-Bears was this past Sunday before the Packers will travel to Chicago next week, and we'll talk about them again next week?
Yeah, it was a really good game. It's what I've been hoping for. Packers fans who were less than thrilled with my desire for the rivalry to be close and the two quarterbacks to both be good and all the other stuff, they got what they wanted too. The Packers still won. Again, my brain is wired differently, so I will defer to fans like yourself. I don't know. The exhilaration of a Bo Melton touchdown, of two Christian Watson touchdowns, and a game-clinching interception in the end zone, to me anyway, seems like more fun than a 42-10 blowout. Again, that's me. Whatever you like, you like. But I thought it was great, and I hope that this continues into the very much foreseeable future.
Yeah, it was a super enjoyable game to attend. I was at Lambeau Field. It was very cold, though. You were nice and warm in the cozy press box.
Cold in the press box. I had to put my coat on.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow, poor guy.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
I was wearing like 8 layers, but very cold, but very fun to attend. Awesome game. And I'm probably in the minority as a fan, but I agree with you. I want the rivalry to be at least feel like this. I would rather the Packers win both times, or if we get a third this year, I want them to win all three. I still want the ownership to continue, but a competitive game where you're holding your breath at points, that's fun for me. I enjoy the roller coaster ride that is the NFL. And there's a reason that teams don't go whatever it would be 19-0 with 30-point blowouts. It's because the parity of the NFL is so great. And that's what makes the league so great. But in terms of the oldest rivalry, I want it to be at least close in terms of the games. And it certainly was on Sunday. Is Jordan Love a legitimate MVP candidate?
Yeah. Legitimate candidate. I don't know if he's going to win or not. But look, he's you know, I'm not sure that I buy into Toyotathon, but great job by him turning that into a I don't know if Mina Kimes gets a cut of that or not, but great job by him and his marketing folks. Look, he's played extremely well. Like, with the exception of one bad pass on Sunday, he was phenomenal. And I would, if I'm a Packers fan, I would take that one bad pass if it means I also get three touchdown passes. He's thrown 7 touchdowns in the last 2 games. That's what MVPs do. His passer rating is high. His interception numbers are low. You'd probably like for your resume more touchdown passes. But, like, Josh Jacobs is, like, the king of the short yardage touchdown. You know, Rodgers, they used to throw play action stuff all the time to get his numbers up. Like, they're not doing that here. So, is he a candidate? Absolutely. Is he going to win? There's a lot to be written in the next 4 games.
Yeah, something we need to change when it comes to the top 2 candidates, which are Matthew Stafford of LA and Drake May of New England, who have both had phenomenal seasons, specifically in the counting stats that you referenced. But Love has been super efficient. And I know we talked about this at least, if not last week, 2 weeks ago. But so I'm so impressed with his accuracy that seems to be up this year, and especially the deep ball accuracy, which came into play Sunday. Two big time touchdowns. You referenced the Bo Melton touchdown and the Christian Watson one. Christian Watson did most of the work on that one, but still a big time touchdown there. I am just really impressed, Jason, frankly. I thought he would be a good quarterback. It's looking like he is on the precipice of being a legitimate elite quarterback or great quarterback, whatever word you want to use there. I don't want to get Joe Flacco on you from the early 2010s. But I am incredibly impressed with what Love has evolved into. He's cut down on the interceptions, and when he makes those interceptions, it seems like he has the amnesia, if you will, that you want out of a really good quarterback. And that's impressive to me.
Yeah, he definitely has the amnesia thing. And that's a good thing. He was talking about that on Wednesday. Look, I hate when we have to do this because then the crowd that just doesn't think that Jordan Love gets enough love then jumps on it and says that I'm being a hater. But like next step for him is to obviously go out and win games in the clutch where he makes the big throw, right? The Aaron Rodgers throw in the Super Bowl to Greg Jennings. The Aaron Rodgers throw to Cobb to beat the Bears in Chicago in the 13 finale. Brett Favre disobeying Mike Holmgren and running it in at County Stadium when he wasn't supposed to send them into the playoffs. Like, those are all things, which, by the way, he's only in his third year as a starter. He hasn't had the opportunity to do those things yet. But, elites and all the other stuff, to me, again, as we talked about on KBN earlier in the week, like, that's a longevity of high level play. And he has certainly played at a very high level for much of the season. If you're going to ding him, you probably say, well, you had two games where you scored 13 points and 7 points, and it's not all your fault. It's the play caller, it's the guys around you, it's all the different things that factor into that. But at the same time, you say, well, the absolute great ones find a way to will themselves to victory. Again, he hasn't had a chance to have the Rodgers to Jared Cook on the sideline to set up the game-winning field goal in Dallas. Like, let's see how it unspools. But everybody, and then I saw Colin Cowherd saying that we he's underrated and we didn't crown, like, he crowned him, like, in 2023 when he was playing at such a high level in the second half of the season. Like, there are ebbs and flows to quarterbacking, and right now he's really flowing, and that's awesome. And you should be excited about that as a Packers fan. And we'll see what happens in the postseason. Like, right? Like, the last five quarters of playoff football, or five quarters and change, he's thrown five picks. So, do I think he's going to do that in a playoff game this year? No, I don't. I think he has developed and improved, and I think he's going to make plays. Is he going to take more risks than his predecessor? Also, yes, but let's keep giving him a chance to keep getting better because he's pretty damn good already.
Yep, totally agree. I actually have no problem with anything you said there. So I don't think the haters will come out because I've got a pretty good pulse of the YouTube dwellers, as you like to call them, on Wilde and Tausch. I don't think you said anything incorrect. I think the important part that you just laid out for Love is, I think the word we used the most this past offseason, heading into the 25 season with the quarterback, was consistency. How consistent can he be? And I mean, yes, he has had four interceptions, all of which I think we went, what the hell are you doing? All four of them this season. Some costed more than others. Obviously, the one against the Bears didn't really matter at the end of the day. Same with the Bengals. Those were opening drive interceptions, bad throws deep in the opposite territory. But you
Do
look
you
like you.
say bangles? Is that what you say?
That's what you're hung up on. Yeah, Bengals. It's like, it's the
Susanna
pronunciation.
Hoffs fan, apparently.
It's the pronunciation of the word bag. I know people that are not from Wisconsin don't like the way Wisconsin people say the word bag, but I am one of those people. I grew up in northern Wisconsin.
Okay, just wanted, I just was that.
You're okay?
that stood out to me. Please
But
continue your thought. I'm going to be
yeah,
quiet
just the last thing I love, because I want to talk about a couple other guys, and it's a big one on Sunday, frankly, against Denver, so I want to get to that. But I think when it comes to the word consistency, which we use so much in the offseason to describe him, I think he's checked that box, frankly, through however many games it's been now, 13, 14 games or 14 weeks, whatever it is.
Totally
He's
agree.
been more consistent. His accuracy's up. You trust him in big moments. You want the ball in his hands to win games. That's all a sign of a franchise quarterback, which I think we thought he was. But I think he's more consistent in year three than he's been in the entirety of his career, which is a really good sign, especially heading into the stretch they're heading into here in mid-December.
Count me in.
All right, great. Let's stay on the offense. Christian Watson, dude.
Oh, he's a dude.
People forget he tore his ACL in 2025. This calendar year, he tore his ACL. He looks faster and stronger than he did prior to the ACL tear. He has another two touchdown performance last week. I don't want to ask you, do they have their number one receiver? But he certainly looks the part here as they head into the end of the season and postseason stretch. What do you make of Watson's ascent since his return from the ACL injury?
You're not asking, but you're asking.
Sort of, yeah, beating around the bush.
He's been awesome. I mean, and frankly, he'd be even more awesomer if he got even more opportunities, right? But that's not how this offense is designed. Like, he was really good in Detroit, but he wasn't the story of the day there. It was obviously Dontavian Wicks. So, look, he's been fabulous. Where does he go from here? As long as he stays healthy, which again, he's been through a lot in his NFL career. But, I'm hoping that his time away from football with the injuries results in him having spent that time. And again, I'm not knocking him for durability. Like, I don't think he was doing anything wrong. They figured out a way to make him more durable, but I'm hopeful that he got it all out of his system or all out of the way early, and now he can be, like Adams, like Jordy Nelson. Like, Jordy Nelson blew out his ACL in 15 in the preseason, but other than that, do you remember him missing any time? I mean, I'm sure there was a game here or there,
Yeah, but not
but like
extensive
that,
now.
right? And so if that's Christian Watson from here on out, Packers are going to be really thankful. And as we kind of talked about early in the week, he looks like a bargain for 2026.
Oh.
And then once that 1 year is up from them signing him to that 1 year deal, I would think that they would want to, again, everything's got to continue to go right. But if he keeps doing what he's currently doing, you got to bargain until you don't, because then eventually you should pay him and he should be that guy.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna have some decisions to make after next season, because you now lined him up by extending him that 1 year, which looks genius in retrospect after the rise he's had the last couple of weeks. But his contract now lines up with what? It's Kraft, Reed, Wicks, Watson, Musgrave too, I guess is in there too.
Correct.
You're gonna have some decisions to make.
Undeniably so, yes.
Which I guess is a good problem to have when you have that many guys where you go, okay, I wouldn't be mad if they re-signed him. I wouldn't be mad if they re-signed him. But I would say Kraft and Watson are certainly at the front of that list, as it stands on December 11th, 2025.
Yeah, I would say that if I'm them, I want Reed back too,
I agree.
which is why I don't see them paying Romeo Dobbs.
Well, it seems to me, Jason, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the box score in front of me. Did he have a target on Sunday against the Bears?
Yeah, he had one target.
But no catches.
No.
But
And
he
again,
was on the field quite a bit. But the opportunity seems to be waning
I
for
mean,
old Romeo Doubs.
I mean, look, let's be realistic here. The way their offense functions, it is a game-to-game thing. He was on the field for 43 plays
Okay.
out of 53. The wide receiver snap counts out of 53 snaps. Watson 44, Dobbs 43, Reed 25, Wicks 6, Golden 5, and then because he's still officially listed in the game book as a corner, Bo Melton 9. So he played a ton. Now, to your point about targets and catches, Romeo Doubs was actually targeted twice.
Okay.
No catches for the season. And look, there were, you would agree that there were times when he was the guy. Like he was their he was getting the, he was seeing way more targets. In fact, I remember our pal Gabe Neitzel bemoaning the fact that he was getting the ball thrown to him too often. Right?
So yeah, I agreed with that, especially once Watson returned. But I mean, there was a portion of the season where Reed and Watson, who I think you and I would agree are probably their top two options offensively, now that Kraft is out for the year, were not available. So yes, I think Romeo Doubs naturally slotted into that top spot.
So the stretch, to your point, Dallas 8 targets, Cincinnati 9,
yep.
Arizona 8, Pittsburgh 6, Carolina 10, Philadelphia 4 targets, 1 catch for 5 yards, Giants 8 targets. Okay. Now, the last three games, Minnesota, Detroit, Chicago. 9 targets, 6 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown. And goose eggs on 2 targets on Sunday. So, again, I'm not ready to say, oh, well, you know, this guy and this guy have moved past him because we could go to Denver or they could go to Denver. And he could have 7 targets and catch 5 balls for 62 yards and a touchdown and pick up a couple third downs. And then we're like, Romeo Doubs is back.
You're right. But it could also go the opposite way. I have no idea what to expect. But I
as
think.
Long as he, hey, as long as he shows up for work and he doesn't have like kind of another one of those moments, which I'm not making light of. I'm saying that what is everyone, whether it's fair, unfair, or indifferent, what does everybody wonder? Oh, I wonder how he's handling the fact that he did not have a catch and that over the last three games, he's only got 9 targets, whereas he had games earlier in the year where he had 9 targets in one game. Like that's just how people are going to think. And, you know, you've brought that upon yourself to some degree.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm with you on that. Matt LaFleur seems to have this offense cooking. And I know we talked about it a little bit last week, where I think you and I probably give him more give him more slack, I guess might not be the right word, but it's the word I'm going to use. More slack because of the shortcomings between the Carolina and Philadelphia game. Because they leave Pittsburgh. He says we'd be foolish not to build the offense around Tucker Kraft. He only has Tucker Kraft for 2 more quarters. And then he's lost for the season, and he has to try to kind of refine their identity offensively. And they faltered against Carolina. They faltered against Philadelphia. But since then, they've gotten this thing back on the tracks, and their offense looks really, really darn good the last 4 or so weeks with 4 straight wins here for Green Bay. You feel like Matt LaFleur has rediscovered his play-calling swagger the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think that we give him too much of a break either, by the way. Like, I think other people are too critical. Like, I think we give him just enough criticism. Like, he's not excused from figuring out ways to get the offense going after losing Kraft. Like, I'm not giving him a pass on that. I'm just saying it's understandable that that was a problem. And by the way, I don't know Dennis Allen at all. Like, I've done a couple of conference calls with him when he was the head coach in Oakland or when he was the head coach in New Orleans. But, like, he basically went into the game on Sunday and said, hey, we're going to play the way we play defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, well, you know, we're still going to be true to who we are. I don't know why anyone wouldn't take and Xerox, that's an old person saying, the game plan of the Carolina Panthers and say, look, if you guys think you can go 10, 12 plays and march down the field five times on us and get points, good luck, as Tausch likes to say. Because I'm not playing tons of man coverage. I'm definitely not blitzing, right? I'm flooding the zone with coverage guys because Jordan Love ate their lunch on blitzes. Like, he killed them. And I'm very curious to see how a week from Saturday they're going to defend them in Chicago, right? Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't do the same thing I did last time. Unless your game plan is, hey, hopefully he'll throw us a couple more interceptions.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't do
So,
what he did again. All right.
right. And so what I would argue about that, like, Carolina game, and look, both teams were bad in the Philly game. I mean, that was a dog of a game. And I love dogs, so I shouldn't. It was a crappy game.
There you
They like if I'm Denver, if I'm Chicago, if I'm the Ravens, and if I'm the I mean, the Vikings are the Vikings. You know, Brian Flores is going to call his game the way he does, and he's pretty good at it. I'm curious to see if the Packers have to do more and do less, taking the air out of the ball. I still don't believe that just because they won 31 to nothing, I'm assuming that the Commanders took the afternoon off a little early in that one. But I'm really eager to see how teams defend them because all these teams that have tried to be just, this is who we are, this is what we do, how's that worked out for them? If this is how they were to defend them, I think their offensive line is in a place now, not including that third and one play where Houdini had to escape five defenders to get that 21-yard gain. And Josh Jacobs deserves such a ridiculous amount of credit for that. But like I don't know about you, but I would be anticipating that the Packers can run the ball against teams that play too high safety better than they did early in the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the more you see it, hopefully the more you can adjust to it. And they've seemingly, hopefully, figured that out. And obviously, I think the offensive line, frankly, has played a role in that with the new look offensive line. They've been good the last couple of weeks. I'm not ready to crown anybody. I'm not ready to go as far as to say Sean Ryan deserves a contract extension to be their center of the future, but it's an improvement. All right, I hesitate to ask you this. Because I really think they're good, but our buddy Homer made some waves that the defense should be embarrassed for their second half performance against Chicago. You have no worries about that group, correct?
Yeah, no, I'm not worried at all. Why? What did he say?
He said they should be embarrassed
Are we good?
and what's that?
I thought maybe you froze there.
Oh, okay. No, he said that they were pathetic and they should be embarrassed by their second half performance against Chicago, is what he said.
Boy, pathetic seems strong.
I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah, look, I think the world of Homer. That doesn't mean I agree with him all the time. I think their defense is really good. I think the other guys get paid too. I think it's really hard to play good defense in the NFL. I think if you hold a team to 20-ish points, you should win the vast majority of your games. And they did that. They came up, and you know, we debated the other night on the Homer Hour about the luck that might have been involved. Like, look, Evan. Good teams, whether they're, you know, Marquette basketball or Ashwaubenon volleyball or Denmark JV basketball, whatever it is,
Shout out.
you other people, the good teams, when somebody tries something or makes a mistake that is out of the plan, good teams have someone else who then comes through for them, right? Alex Strofe, noted elite athlete, three-point shooter, decides to make a behind-the-back pass as he goes down the lane. Maybe ill-advised,
Watch
but
out.
his teammate, I don't know, give me one of your old school teammates. Yeah, you know, maneuvers to come somehow gather the pass, drives, makes a left-handed layup, and the Vikings have points on that possession, even though you probably shouldn't have done that. Okay.
Yeah.
Evan Williams goes to cover Swift in the flat, which, look, he needed to be covered, right? And Evan Williams said it afterward. He's like, I just was hoping that someone then took my guy, who was Cole Kmet. Well, someone did and made a game-clinching interception. Now, by leaving his guy, Keyshawn Nixon leaves DJ Moore open. And if Caleb Williams sees that, we have a touchdown, and then they go for two to try to win it, I would presume, right? So, look, sometimes, yeah, is there a little luck involved? I guess, but like, how can you say it's lucky? Because the dude made the play. Like, the throw wasn't great. I get it. But again, whether we're talking about Bo Nix or Jordan Love or Caleb Williams, or, I mean, obviously he's had a bunch of injuries, but Jaden Daniels, I don't think he went into year two thinking this is the way that thing's going to go, right? Look at Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Like, I like Justin Herbert, watched him play in college a ton. The Chargers were my team as a kid, so I'm always curious about them. But like, he's no more elite than Jordan Love is.
Oh,
Like,
definitely not.
he's played at a high level at times, and at times he hasn't. I respect the hell out of him and Rodgers for playing with broken, non-throwing hands or wrists. But like, they all go through this. Jordan is further now down the line than he was a year ago at this time. But bottom line, Caleb Williams is probably going to be better a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 3 years from now. But on that night, he made the throw. It wasn't a great throw. And Keyshawn Nixon made the great play. It was big,
Indeed.
huge,
Indeed. All
phenomenal.
right. Phenomenal. Last thing for you is what matchup you're most looking forward to on Sunday. Denver is one of the best defenses in the league. They're on a 10-game winning streak. They've got that thing cooking under head coach Sean Payton and second-year quarterback Bo Nix. What are you most intrigued by Sunday in Denver?
I'm intrigued by their defense. Like, we were talking about the offensive line a moment ago.
Yeah.
Are they going to keep playing at a high level? Because now they're going to be challenged. They got two really good edge rushers. They've got good interior rushers. Like, Jordan Love, cross your fingers. Let's keep him safe, right? Because where you're trending, the last thing you need, as much as I love Malik Willis, is for something bad to happen to him. So their protection has to be on point. La Isla Bonito can really make some big plays. So I'm a Madonna guy. What can I say? I'm a material girl. So I'm curious to see how they protect. And then, look, I'm not a Sean Payton guy. I Kevin James, by the way, should play me in my movies, not him. King of Queens. But I've never seen that. I can't imagine it's any good.
You've never seen the show King of Queens?
No, I've never seen the movie where he plays Sean
Oh,
Payton.
I haven't seen that either. Yeah.
No, I've seen King of Queens. But my point is that I think they've won 9 games out of their 11 where they trailed in the fourth quarter, which on the one hand is, hey, they're clutch. On the other hand, I'm not
Little
sure how
fluky.
dominant they are. They've beaten a lot of teams that aren't very good.
They have.
So, are they due for a loss after 10 straight wins? All things that are kind of bouncing around in my head.
Yeah, Vegas thinks so. The Packers are 2.5-point favorites, which was
That's
surprising to me.
wild. That's if I was the Broncos, if I was Peyton, I would definitely use that as my motivational tool for sure.
Yeah, it's a team that far and away leads the league in sacks. They have 11 more than the second place team in the league. They have 55 sacks on the year. Nick Benito has as many as Micah Parsons. He leads the way for them to do your Madonna reference. But like a prayer, Vegas likes the Packers on Sunday. It's Packers Broncos Green Bay game day. We'll get you set for it beginning at noon on Sunday on ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, and 620 WTMJ. 1 o'clock, the Jason Wilde Hour. On Green Bay game day with myself, Gabe Neitzel, Brian Bulaga, John Anderson coming up on Sunday. We will go five wide with Jason Wilde in the 1 o'clock hour. Jason, thank you very much, sir. We will talk to you next week again ahead of Packers Bears Part 2.
So the highlight of my week.
I don't know if that was sarcasm or the truth, but I'm going to
No,
hope it's the
I
latter.
do thoroughly enjoy this. Maybe that's strong. I've had some other good things this week, but it's one of the highlights of my week. How's that?
Well, I hope you always have a great week filled with highlights, and I'm glad this can be one of them. Jason Wilde, listen to him on Wilde and Tash weekdays from 9 until noon. Adios, Jason.
Take care. Be good.